And so on a practical level, if you have a system for quote-unquote productivity, it's just about kind of managing and getting things done that matter to you in your life, but avoiding stress from getting overwhelmed, which actively takes away from your happiness, staying mindful about how you spend your time so you can be confident that when you do spend your time on things, you're not secretly wondering if you should be doing other things instead, but you have more of a sense of calm and control over that.
You're listening to The Omni Show, where we connect with the amazing community surrounding the Omni Group's award-winning products. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we learn how Mark Mossberg uses OmniFocus. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of The Omni Show. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we're super excited to hang out with Mark Mossberg to chat about how he uses OmniFocus. He's an artist and engineer in Berlin, Germany, and he gets to work on digital music instruments at Ableton. Mark, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks so much. Great to be here.
Well, I'd love it if you would just take a couple of seconds and level set. Talk to us about yourself. Talk to us about where you find yourself geographically in Berlin, what life is like, and then also maybe dive in a little bit to, if possible, some of the work that you get to do.
So I am an artist and an engineer living in Berlin, Germany, and I'm up to a couple of different things in life right now. In my professional life, I work at Ableton, which is a music technology company. We make digital musical instruments, and we have a nice portfolio of products that can run on your desktop computer, or we make hardware instruments that go along with those well. We also make an iOS app that also integrates with all this stuff very well. And our flagship product, Ableton Live, is the most well-known, and it's an industry standard tool for making music. It's used also for live performance. It's used in film, podcasting, other industries too. And personally, I'm a software engineer on the hardware team. I'm also a writer and a content creator. And so I actively blog on my blog, offlinemark.com. I write about life, creativity, and computer science. And I also enjoy making computer science educational content in video format. So I make YouTube videos and lately have been live streaming myself, actually.
That's incredible. And a lot of people say, hey, I'm either an engineer or I'm a musician or I do, you know, some creative writing and stuff. There's a lot of different things kind of happen in there for you. Can you speak a little bit to maybe why that is for you? What happens? I mean, there's a little bit of left brain, right brain action happening at the same time there. Like what's going on for you for that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just as I've kind of gone through life, I've just realized it makes sense to identify as both sides of this, because I do feel both sides very strongly. Even going back to when I was a teenager, I got really into music, and I learned how to record music, and I released a bunch of heavy metal albums on the internet. And then I moved on to kind of the next phase of my life, where I went strongly into computers, programming, very technical pursuits. And then now, as I've kind of continued into the next stages, I've found ways to combine the two. And at the end of the day, it's really a 50-50 split on both sides. I love technical craft. I also love like very creative, artistic thinking and doing art.
That's so cool. And to me, it seems like that's required for the type of work you do, even professionally, you know, at Ableton, but also, you know, any other space that you happen to find yourself in. There's always a benefit of having that other side kind of working for you as well. So it's not just the technical, it's not just the creative, but you're really kind of working in tandem to, I think there's a better result that achieves there.
I think it can be helpful for anybody to be able to play a little bit on both fields, because let's say you're a totally technical person. Well, at some point, if you ever want to innovate in your industry, what does that involve? It involves creative thinking, it involves brainstorming, and you know, if you have the ability to, or maybe are used to doing that kind of thinking, you'll benefit in those areas where it's important to think out of the box and creatively. And conversely, if you're in a very artistic field and, you know, very creative industry, it can also be very helpful to have a bit of the technical skills or more structured and organized thinking to complement you and maybe make you stand out too.
Do you have any recollection as to, either an event or just kind of over time, you just became more aware of who the Omni Group was, or even more specifically, OmniFocus as software. Do you kind of remember where that entered your story?
Yeah, I actually remember very specifically. And this happened when I had started working at Ableton. I remember I was very new at the company. This was about 3 years ago. I'd also just was in the process of doing this international relocation of my life over to Germany from the US. It was also during the pandemic, which added a lot of challenges and complexity to the whole process. And I remember being kind of frazzled just overall in my life. And I didn't have strong systems for this, but I remember reading an internal blog post we have at work from the head of the hardware division at Ableton. His name is Jesse Terry. And I work in his group, and he is a very busy guy. You know, he's the head of the hardware division. He's interacting with engineers, with designers, with the marketing teams, you know, with finance, with executives. He has a family. He has an active music practice. He's also an expat in Germany. And so I was looking at this guy, and I was reading his blog post, and I was like, well, if he can do this, like if with this tool, maybe I can make it work too. I don't have quite as complicated of a life, but maybe I can also apply it myself. And so I remember kind of getting a bit of an entry point into OmniFocus through that. And I've been using it ever since with varying levels of success, but lately a lot of success. So yeah.
That's awesome. That's also awesome. Talk to me about like anybody that finds themselves in that position that you were in, where it's like, I know I need to be doing something. You know, I know I see there are successful people that are doing a lot of stuff with their life. They seem to have it all together. What advice would you give them for maybe a first entry point on how to get started? It doesn't even necessarily need to do with OmniFocus itself, but just productivity in general. Like how do you handle that first step?
I think actually asking for help from other people is a massive step that I personally didn't take soon enough. Like I was kind of aware of this, but in retrospect, I could have done way more to ask my colleagues, my parents, my friends, you know, what, like, how are you actually handling this stuff? Because, you know, if you are alive on Earth in like 2024, you probably need to be doing things and like getting things done. Right. So it's a common thing that we all need to deal with, but I find we don't really talk about it very much. At least I don't have conversations like this. And so I would just recommend also, like, first off, you know, trying to find some community around this locally, or maybe even on the internet, about people solve these problems, because you will find that there's a lot of different ways of going about this. And so people will have different opinions. But yeah, if you were to ask me though, I mean, I've had great success with the classic GTD methodologies, as probably everyone on this podcast eventually says at one point or another. So I won't belabor that point too much. But other than that, I would just recommend recognizing that it's okay to feel overwhelmed, and that the journey of making progress on this is one that you can do. It won't be a quick one necessarily, but I kind of think of it like fitness. Like, you know, getting started with a personal fitness habit is not easy, but you know it's healthy, and you know it's good for you in the long term. And I think of it in a similar way. You know, try to find ways to make it fun for yourself if you can. You know, the mindset of kind of playing around with different tools appeals to you. Think of it kind of like that way, or toys even. You know, download some apps and just see how they work for you. But also don't take too long playing around and getting distracted from, you know, just with playing around. Also, just kind of commit to one, because none of them are perfect either.
Talk to me a little bit about the live development aspect of what you've been doing, because what for you is live dev? I don't want to say accomplishing, like, you know, what good does it do? But like accomplishing in the sense of like, what's your why behind that? Because I can definitely see, you know, somebody saying from the outside looking in, what are you crazy? You're sitting there developing live. Like, aren't you going to make mistakes? Aren't you going to, like, there's so much that goes into that. Just kind of speak to that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've been doing live coding for about 4 months now, and I do it every week on Sunday afternoons. And I'll go into more of that in a second, but I'll just say kind of like how I got into it. And yeah, like some of these, like there's a lot of concerns, like, okay, won't you look stupid? Like a lot of the time I would say I'm quite introverted. And so that also seems in conflict with literally putting yourself on the internet live. But I'll just start with my influences. I mean, I had the idea from two people that I really respect a lot. So their names are Adam Wavin and Andreas Kling. And so Adam Wavin is an online entrepreneur, and he talks a lot about how he got started with his online products for developers by simply doing live streams and live coding. And then eventually people started to ask him questions about kind of the little tools he had built for himself. And those little tools that he thought had no value turned out to be a really profitable business for him that changed his life. And that just kind of got me thinking, wow, like, you know, who knows what could happen if you just kind of start doing this. Andreas Kling is an operating systems developer, kind of one of my role models, basically. And he live streamed himself working on his operating system and stuff like this too. And so I had some like precedent and inspirations for it. And the more I thought about it, the more it seemed to make sense, because I have this very niche interest in operating systems, which is like this weird ultra technical thing. And I've never really allowed myself to pursue it because it's very time consuming. And also the idea of just kind of spending more time alone in my room, like struggling through this stuff, didn't sound super appealing. But when I thought about live coding, it actually started to make sense, because with live coding, I get so much more out of it. I build an audience and a community through it with people that join my streams. I build skill, and I learn in real time. I tried not to get discouraged by the fact that I might look stupid live, because just there's no perfection, really. Even the most skilled and expert people in whatever craft you're interested in, they make mistakes too. And I find that making mistakes live kind of is endearing in a way too. And people support me when I'm like, man, I'm so embarrassed that I thought the number 4 was bigger than the number 15 or whatever. Oh man. And the people support me in this situation. So I find that I get a lot back out of it. And it also helps build my own kind of public credibility and proof of work that I'm doing things. And I've just found that I've just been getting so many good things out of doing this like simple activity of live streaming for 2 hours a week, that it's at this point a big source of positivity in my life, and happy to keep it up. Yeah.
The building in public, you know, nature of it is really cool. It helps build the authenticity. Anybody I know that kind of sees the internet more as a conversation rather than like a snapshot, like, you know, here's the thing I built and I spent 40 hours in a cave and built it, you know, versus like, build this with me. Talk to me a little bit more about your OmniFocus setup itself. How do you use it in general? Do you have any kind of like workflows going on? Just kind of speak to what we would actually find in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think before I get into that, I also want to give credit where it's due. A lot of my inspirations from this are actually from this podcast. From a very specific episode, the episode with Stephen Dolan, who is at Tuple. Yeah, that was really impactful for me, and I'm implementing a lot of the things I learned in that episode. So just wanted to get that out of the way. But yeah, that changed a lot of how I used OmniFocus. I would say I'm in my third generation of like trying to figure out how to use it. And I had kind of two medium levels of success with it, but now I'm kind of using it a third way, which I think is much more the intended way. And it's also much simpler than anything I've tried before. I think the key points there are I'm a heavy user of the forecast view, and that is it's my main view every single day. I'm operating out of that view most of the time. And that's kind of where I have like my list of like 4 to 6 things that I will try to do today. And I try to make it pretty realistic too. I try not to have it cluttered with like this very unrealistic thing of like 20 things basically. So I try to keep it pretty tuned. I have my projects database, which is kind of this large hierarchical view of like everything in my life basically, and that is extremely overwhelming to look at, but it is also, it represents reality pretty well too. That's accurate. And I think one of the things I like most about OmniFocus is that you can have this incredible database of everything that can be overwhelming, but you can also filter things away very easily. You know, just simply clicking on a folder or clicking on a project or clicking on today in the forecast view filters away 95% of the noise that's not relevant for what you need to see right now. And I think that's a massive benefit of OmniFocus. And so, yeah, so I have my big project database where kind of like everything lives. Things enter the inbox and I process them every week and filter them into the big database. And then I kind of slowly elect things into the forecast view, which I'm actually going to work on. I do that via flags or this kind of custom like estimation system that I have, which I can talk about in more detail. But otherwise, I would say it's a pretty simple workflow, not that many perspectives. And I don't have any of these like hooks or automations really, which I know are very powerful, but I haven't felt the need to reach for them yet.
I would love to hear, yeah, the today, or not that I was going to assume that it was a today view, but the flags and kind of the custom setup that you have happening there. What do you mind speaking a little bit more to that?
Yeah, so my forecast view has the things that appear in there are the things that are concretely due, like hard due dates, which are somewhat rare for me. I don't use them too much. Things that are deferred to appear on a particular day, and I use deferred dates very extensively to just kind of get things out of the way, or like defer things into specific kind of like slots. Like for example, every Friday, like Fridays are kind of my taking care of like admin stuff day. And so like if there's like an admin type category in my thing, I will just defer it to next Friday as like a general bucket. I know there'll be stuff there to do usually, and so I don't need to make a lot of decisions about that. And so I just like defer things heavily. If I have tasks that I know I want to work on literally today, I'll flag it and that appears in the forecast view. And then I have this estimation system, which is a little bit non-standard and maybe a bit interesting. So I know OmniFocus supports time estimations of tasks out of the box. But my problem with that is it's too granular because it's measured in minutes. And so you can say, I think this task will take 17 minutes, or like, I think this task will take 34 minutes or something like that. And for me, that's a bit more like mental overhead than I would like. Because in actuality, I basically just want to group things into kind of like these coarse buckets of like trivial, like kind of small, a bit larger, and that's pretty much it. And like it's just ultra coarse. I just want to have like a sense of how big is this thing? Because otherwise, if you are just looking at like a list of tasks in your OmniFocus, they all kind of visually appear kind of similar because they all like look the same, but they might represent a lot, like pretty tremendous differences in the amount of work and effort it could take to do the task. And you might argue, well, then you should be breaking down your tasks even more. I think, yeah, sure. But even still, not all tasks are equivalently sized. And I find it helpful to kind of have some visual indicator of this. And so in lieu of using the actual estimation feature, I add equal signs to the start of the text in the action name. So I'll say it'll be like one equal sign space and then the name of the action, or two equal signs space and then the start, then the actual text. And these equal signs are kind of nice because like zero equal signs is like trivial, one is like kind of small, two is like a bit larger, and then I kind of stop there. But from that I can kind of more visually see like the relative sizes of these things, which otherwise that effort is not represented. And I find that helpful. And then once I've estimated it like that, I have a custom perspective that is very simple. It just searches and filters for tasks that have the text space or equals space. And when I do that, it will find everything that I have labeled in this way. Everything that I have like estimated like this, because if I estimate it as like kind of small, space equals, it'll find that, or space space equals, it'll find that too. And the things that are trivial with no equal sign, I just do it today immediately, basically. But basically, this represents a set of tasks that are kind of like actually a little bit more opted in from the main database. And then I can, but I haven't decided that I'll do it today or on a particular day yet, but it's a more curated list of things that are a bit more like hot topics for me. So that's a bit of a custom workflow thing. I've never heard of someone doing that before, but it works for me pretty well. So
yeah. No, I've also, this is a first for me, and I love the concept of how well that translates to anybody that's, you know, heard the story about big rocks, you know, in a jar, you know, trying to decide how to fit it in, you know, that totally makes sense to me.
Right. It's also a thing from Scrum. I mean, anyone that's used Scrum before will recognize this idea of estimating in kind of like coarser increments, not necessarily in time, basically. So it's inspired by that too.
Very cool. And this, there might be a little bit of crossover in what you just said, but I mean, you do have so much kind of working in parallel in all the different areas of your life. You've got the streaming, you've got music, you've got, you know, just any kind of leisure stuff that you do, content creation, yep. Your actual work at Ableton. How do you handle personally working with all of these things in parallel? Because you did mention, like, when you first take a look at the database and you look at the overall project view, yeah, it is overwhelming, but it's accurate as well. So I don't want to pretend it isn't there. It is there. But, you know, how do you approach that?
I think first off, filtering is huge. And so, like, I consider my work and kind of the work separate from the rest of my life. And so at the very top level, I have like a work folder, and then everything work related is under there. And then on my like work machine, pretty much 100% of the time, that's just focused to that work folder. So I never see personal stuff in my work environment. And then conversely, on my personal machines, I'm focused like 100% of the time with the focus feature on my life folder. And so that already helps filter out a lot of the noise. And then within my life folder, I have everything related to my personal life, but also kind of like my projects and stuff. And again, I'm very careful about not viewing the whole thing at any one point, but always kind of filtering things away to only see what's relevant. But also a key point is that I don't focus on every project with the same intensity at all times. So some projects are a higher priority to me than others. And so I don't try to do everything all at once. I just try to do things to the extent possible, but like given their priorities. And so music is less like lower priority for me right now than streaming and stuff. And so I don't schedule as many tasks in every week for that kind of stuff. When I do my prioritization every week, I kind of have a smaller budget for that kind of stuff.
That's really helpful, I think, for people not to be overwhelmed, to realize, yeah, this is a slice of my life, but, you know, kind of in a weighted view, if there's a way to kind of like view it in a weighted way, like it's not necessarily meaning that I have to spend, you know, this amount of time for, or that it's it, just as you had said, needs that much focus. I think that's a great way to look
at it. Yeah. And one other thought is also making, you know, separating like the someday maybe kind of category from things you were actually planning to do, and liberally putting things into the someday maybe bucket, because if they're in that bucket, it lightens the load and you don't have to feel like it contributes to your, you know, your whole to-do list.
I am a self-proclaimed visionary crazy maker, where there's millions of ideas every single day, and okay, you really have to just kind of pare down to that small slice that you're going to execute on. And someday maybe is broken down in categories for me, just because there's someday maybe professional life, someday maybe personal life, someday, and there's just but it's guilt-free. You know, it's like, hey, I might do it. I might solve world hunger. Probably not, but I just want to put it in there. Well, talk to me a little bit more about what, and this is more conceptual and it's personal to you, but I'd love to hear your why behind it. What makes you passionate about being as productive as you possibly can be? Because there, somebody doesn't go into this length of really kind of making sure that they have the commitments in their life taken care of. I think there's a slice of integrity, but just speak to a little bit more to why is that important to you?
I think for me, I'm passionate about this topic because I view it as an important piece of finding happiness, actually, and being a happy person. And that's not to say that productivity equals happiness, or if you are productive, you will be happy. I'm just saying, in practical terms, you know, we all live you know, modern lives can have a lot of stuff required of us. We have a lot of asks, a lot of people in our lives, commitments we need to do. And so on a practical level, if you have a system for quote unquote productivity, it's just about kind of managing and getting things done that matter to you in your life. But avoiding stress from getting overwhelmed, which actively takes away from your happiness, and staying mindful about how you spend your time, so you can be confident that when you do spend your time on things, you're not secretly wondering if you should be doing other things instead, but you have more of a sense of calm and control over that. I also just want to comment on, I think the term productivity is interesting because I think it comes with a lot of baggage and connotations, which are not necessarily positive. And also not everyone resonates with like the term productivity or identifying as a productive person, but I view it just more as the simple kind of aspiration to, yeah, do the things that matter for you, basically. And I think ultimately, yeah, but it comes down to being happy for me. Yeah.
So good. That's so good, Mark. And I love kind of hearing the heart behind that, because there's a lot of technicality to it, but it's, you know, it goes back to our, I don't know if it's a fair comparison, left brain, right brain thing, but it's, you know, it goes back to the passion behind the technical, which is really cool. I am really interested in, is there anything that you've experienced in your journey over the last few years where, hey, I've taken on this new system, I've gotten a lot of wins out of it, but if I were to give advice to somebody who maybe was just getting started, for me, I thought this was a great idea, maybe skip that for you, because it didn't really bear fruit the way that I was hoping it would bear fruit. It didn't really turn out to be what I was hoping it would be. Any advice that you would give in that space?
I've tried and failed several times with using OmniFocus and other tools. I'm not sure I would say to skip those, though, because I think you always learn something. And even if you try all the different tools and quote unquote waste a bunch of time, you get a sense of what's out there now. So I wouldn't say, yeah, that kind of comes to mind, but I wouldn't really say that's a waste of time to totally skip. I think one thing that does come to mind, though, was I had a period where I was trying to really capture everything, but then I didn't have any follow through after that. And so I was kind of logging up these just massive piles of things, and I didn't have the knowledge or habits or rituals to do anything with that. And that kind of made things worse, actually, because it just made it clear how much I had to do, but it's not helpful if you're not in a position to do anything with it. And I think that really changed for me when I started to learn some of these essential principles of GTD, of actually clarifying amorphous things in your life. I kind of call them topics or situations, because that's the only thing that comes to mind when it enters my life, such as like I have no more hot water today for some reason. It's like a situation. It's like, okay, I guess the outcome is like, I want to have hot water again, but like, what do I need to do? Like, until, like, it takes some work to actually think about those things. And so until you do, they're kind of amorphous. And there's really this kind of art and skill that I have learned of taking something amorphous and rigorously removing the unclarity and figuring out, okay, what is the actual outcome? And then furthermore, what do I actually need to do? And so I think that is actually a pretty essential skill, in my opinion. And I learned that much later than I think I could have. And I think I would have avoided a lot of stress and pain if I kind of learned how to manage this big piling list, which I was just kind of letting it linger and just getting overwhelmed like every day.
I love the phrase you used, rigorously removing the unclarity. Like, to me, that's it. Cause you have to be ruthless about it. Otherwise it's just going to just like sit there. And, it reminds me of the old movies or something where everything's going great. And then somebody comes in and says, we have a situation. Like that is a situation. I've got to do something with this thing. So what do I do with it? Yep. I don't know. Mark, I really have enjoyed this conversation. If folks are interested in connecting with you, finding out more about what you're up to, or maybe hanging out for some of the streaming sessions and stuff, how can they do that?
Go to my website, offlinemark.com. All the information is there. You can learn more about me. You can check out some of my writing. You can find out, I mean, my stream is just at YouTube at offlinemark. I'm pretty active on Twitter at offlinemark too. And also feel free to email me if you want, if this resonated with you, mark@offlinemark.com. Yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. Mark, I so appreciate this. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been great.
Appreciate it, Andrew.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today, too. You can find us on Mastodon at The Omni Show at omnigroup.com. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.